Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Lynn, your co-host.
Let's gear for sea and get underway. Have you ever thought of owning your own franchise?
And who better to talk about franchising than today's guest, Christy Wilson-Delk, who after being hit by corporate downsizing and family concerns, took the leap into business ownership.
Christy is a successful 15-year franchisor who gained a lot of wisdom through two recessions, three hurricanes, two expansions, one divorce, and numerous employees. Did I miss anything?
Christy Wilson-Delk is author of Adventures in Franchise Ownership and shares great insights with us on succeeding as a franchise owner.
So greetings, Christy Wilson-Delk. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello to our listeners.
Hello, listeners. Hi, Rich. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for that intro.
Yes, of course. Right. Thank you for coming on our show.
So you're dialing in from beautiful Florida around Orlando?
Yes, from Central Florida. I'm actually at Rollins College. I teach business courses here. It's in Winter Park, so just southeast of Orlando. So yeah, and right now it is pretty beautiful outside.
Oh, yeah. Florida's always beautiful, even if it does get cold there once in a while. Hey, so let's see a cover of that book. Do you have the Adventures in Franchise Ownership?
I do.
Beautiful.
All right.
Very sleek.
Thank you.
Well, going off of that, Christy, let's dive into franchising by learning more about your new book, Adventures in Franchise Ownership.
Yes. So what I basically wanted to do was to break down how I ran my franchise for 15 years, as you said. And what I learned when I sold it, when I exited, was that I did quite a few things differently than a lot of franchisees did and do. And so I thought, well, why don't I take some of these stories, some of the advice from other top performing franchisees throughout the industry, and put together, I wouldn't call it a guidebook, but definitely a manual, if you will, for the things that aren't in the owner's guide that you get when you go to training for franchising.
Yeah, that's a really good angle on this, because one of the advantages of a franchise is it does kind of come with, you know, a blueprint, a way, you know, establish business practices to achieve success in that particular franchise, plus a lot of, you know, guidelines. But, you know, there's a lot of room then to take that to the next level and be able to build upon that structure to be more successful as a franchisor.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the franchisors, or Zors as we call them in the biz, find that they don't have a problem with what is in the book, because they know it really just, for the most part, enhances the systems and the framework that they have in place. And especially for folks that haven't owned a business before, which, let's face it, most people haven't. And also for perhaps for people that maybe haven't had the corporate background or a good mentor to help them, these are some of the things that they need to consider, especially year two, year three, and beyond.
Yeah, good. That's a good point, you know, linking that in with the franchise, and that, you know, it does require more relative startup investments, but with that comes increased probability of success if you follow their, you know, their recipe for success. So that's kind of the trade-off. So your book is a good way to capitalize on that.
Yeah, and just to expand what you said just a tad, a lot of times people don't realize this, but with exactly what you were talking about comes a higher probability of borrowing money, because you're hooking your name and your finances and your credit rating to a bigger entity, not directly, but indirectly. And I know in my case, because mine was a big enterprise to start, if it weren't for the franchise or in their reputation, I would not have been able to borrow the $1.67 million that I borrowed, you know, for that business.
Sounds like that number's ingrained in your mind. Yeah, those are big investments. And, you know, that's also the trade-off, is you just can't get around it. You're going to have to make a, you know, a capital investment and, you know, just take longer to get cash flow positive, but there's an increased probability of doing. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, that relatively higher startup investment. You know, how do you know when it's a good time to start a business, you know, a franchise?
Yeah. You know, that's a question that a lot of people think about. Is this a good time? Or maybe they don't think about it, but they should. I think there are at least three parameters to look at. I mean, first of all, the personal parameter. So I teach entrepreneurship and basic business class at Rollins. And so we look at three kind of entry points. You know, one, when you're young and unencumbered, maybe post-secondary school. Another is that necessity period. And that was definitely it for me with the downsizing, the divorce, the young child at home, got to do something. And then the last kind of entry point is a little bit later in life, the sort of the give back. And, or I never got to do this. This is what I want to do. I want to own a flower shop, or I want to have a consulting business. So those three entry points, you have to figure, you know, are you at one of those for one thing? Because you have to be motivated. And then local market conditions. You know, local markets have their own little life cycles, economic cycles, competitive cycles. And then for sure, the bigger stage, the national economy, the cost of borrowing money, discretionary spending, depending on what area you're getting into. So you could say world or global, but I think national is sufficient for the kinds of businesses we're talking about. So those three things. And if those three line up, you know, and you're ready, you know, we didn't talk about how do you know it's a good business, but I think that those three things make up the big questions.
You talked a little bit about, you know, looking at the local market. I imagine the franchisors themselves will help you with market selection and, you know, to make, you know, make sure it's because they've got something invested in this too. To make sure you have a good probability of success.
Yeah, there are lots of different, even though there is, you know, one general franchise model, there's lots of different ways it can get, you know, presented or sliced up. And one of those is exactly what you were talking about. So you'll find that certain franchises, some in the service sector, some of the ones that I've seen, you know, through your website, are going to be looking for maybe areas. So if it's janitorial or if it's a particular maybe appliance type or, you know, something residential service, they may be looking for general big areas. But others might just have specific zip codes. You know, it's this zip code or that zip code. So you really have to know your area, and you also need to know that it is possible that there's a better market for you than the one that you live in.
Oh.
Yeah.
So franchising does require having specific business skills. Christy, how would you know that franchising would be a good fit for you?
So franchising, skill-wise, you definitely need to be able to work with people, not just if you're going to
well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I know, it does. Not just because you're going to have clients, but also you need to foster a relationship with your community. You need to have a relationship with your employees or future employees, you know, and then certainly with the franchisor. Sometimes that's the one that gets overlooked, is that you need to have good skills negotiating, interpersonal and others communicating for that. But I also, one of the pillars, and I think we'll get to that, but you also do need to develop a sense of discipline and planning and executing and following up. So you have to have some good organizational skills in order to, I think, be successful in probably any business. So,
but I mean, that structure, I think, is extra important with a franchise, because the franchisor is going to come in with a blueprint for you to follow, and you've got to be able to have the discipline to stick with that blueprint.
You do. And with that also comes some responsibilities to quality issues, to not just stay on track with what the operating manual is, but also be able, if you come across a good idea or you have a new way, you know, introducing that and being willing to share that maybe with other franchisees, if the franchisor is good with that. But yeah, you do. You have to, I don't want to say you have to conform, but you need to be able to follow a process. Now, I had a really great relationship with my franchisor. It was developed over years, but with that came some opportunities that to expand in a unique way, two times, try out a couple of things that others weren't allowed to, but that's the trust, which we, in business, you know, it's kind of the it word right now, the trust, but it has to be developed.
Well, you're basically away with a franchise. If you build that relationship and it's strong, it can actually open up ways to diversify. I know one franchisor who is doing really well, and that relationship is strong. And the franchisors come to them again and ask them to, open up another franchise in another location. So,
yeah, and maybe take over an existing one that's not doing well. There's no question. There are a lot of opportunities. When I wrote the book and I called the franchisors representing different segments, you know, and asked, do you have someone I could interview, preferably a top performing franchisee? You could tell they had relationships with these people, and they said, oh yeah, I got just the person. And sure enough, you know, it came to pass that there were good relationships, and it wasn't favoritism per se, but more that there was a relationship. You're on the in. I don't want to say you're in or you're out, but if you have good relationships, we talk about this in class all the time. You don't have to go to college to know that, but it really will benefit you in the long run. And opportunities, but also if you have problems, they might be there with more support. They might be there to, you know, help you out of a situation that you haven't experienced before. All kinds of things. And that is one of the benefits of franchising.
Well, let's learn a little bit more about your experiences with franchising. What were some of the bigger challenges you faced as a franchise business owner?
Yeah, thanks. There were a lot. some of the ones that probably took me most by surprise were things that were completely unexpected. For example, I tell a story in here. It's in the leadership pillar, but it's about what to do in my case when the bus driver quit with no notice. Well, guess what? You learn to drive the bus.
You're the bus driver.
Over the weekend and get the licensing and all of that. But I definitely, the staying motivated over a length of time and trying to kind of smooth out the peaks and the valleys, you know, the highs and the lows, and get the rhythm of the organization to be in a healthy way. You don't want everybody going around stressed out, and you want them to enjoy their job, but you also don't want them to get too relaxed. Mm-hmm. And that's a kind of a tough balance. But mm-hmm. as the owner of the business, even if it's just three people, as the owner of the business, you know, that's part of it. So the people management and running the culture, keeping it positive, motivated, moving forward, that was the most challenging part.
Your book focuses on four pillars. Christy, can you tell us about how these pillars are paramount to building your business?
Yeah, I'd be happy to share that. And I probably already said it once, but I'll say it one more time. The pillars that I'm going to outline here real briefly aren't just for franchising. They can be applied to all different kinds of businesses. So as you're hearing them and you're thinking, yeah, that's not just franchising, you're absolutely right. And so the first one I talk about is layers of loyalty. That part about building loyalty in layers with your clients, your staff, your team, your community, because your community will protect you when times get tough. They'll have your back also. And then with this industry, of course, with the franchisor. So layers of loyalty is the first one. Second is about strategic leadership. And keeping in mind, as business owners, your listeners can probably relate to this, you're just one person. You can't lead everybody everywhere all the time. So you have to get really strategic about how you're going to approach your year and exactly what you're going to lead and who you're going to lead to accomplish those things. So leadership, and I break that down into three different areas. The third one has to do with money. Money metrics.
Money. Money. Get away from money.
Money. Money metrics to grow your business. So it's strengthen, protect, and grow your business. And so what I talk about, and this is one that, it wasn't a challenge for me, but it's a challenge I know for a lot of folks, is planning. So this is planning your profits, figuring out where you can get some efficiencies, creating programs to build your business, to diversify. So money metrics is very, very, very important. And that is the part I quite honestly, Richard, you made a notion, a comment about this, that the franchisers really like in the book.
Well, at the end of the day, they're in it to make money. So
yeah. Yep. And then the last one I call method management, and that's to focus your business. That's the framework that you can build your business on. Meaning, yes, you have the operator's manual. Yes, you have a business plan. But, okay, what do I do week one of the month, week two of the month, week three of the month? Figuring out how you can put a framework together that works for you and works for your business so that you're not scattered and going all over. We all know what it feels like to work with somebody like that. And it's even worse to work for somebody else that's like that, that's scattered and doesn't have a plan, but your framework creates security and it helps you to increase, you know, your profits.
Those four pillars, I can see, you know, they're extra important for a franchise, but they, you know, like you say, they do apply to any business you would be starting. But let's circle back on one of those when franchise business, which is controlling business expenses. How can you, you know, best control expenses in a franchise?
So what you have to look at various different things in terms of the resources that you're using. So I am all about process, being process oriented. And that was something that I've included in here. But so what I suggest is that once a year, usually at the end of the year or in the beginning of the year, you go through all your vendors, all the people that you spend money with each year, and make a phone call before you have the next contract or before you are going to pay the next bill, and say two things, really. You know, how can I increase what I'm getting and how can I decrease my costs? So once a year, almost like we do at home, and Rich, because who doesn't look at their cable bill or their phone bill once a year and go, I know I can do better.
You know, I found that every time that you call, there's somehow miraculous, they offer a discount.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Like, why didn't you call me and let me know about this before? I had that happen today with a web service. I was just talking with them, and suddenly my bill was cut in half when I was talking about, you know, a different solution. So, yeah, that's a really, really good point to
update
once a year.
Being super disciplined about that because, yeah, you'll get better services and or you'll get decreased costs or maybe both. The other is being really upfront with your team about how the money can be used to their benefit. So, for example, so as you know, I had an early childhood center. So it has to be clean. That includes carpets. That includes flooring. So once a year, I would take a portion of a quarterly staff meeting and go over some of the expenses associated with the carpet cleaning and the floor cleaning. So give them a perspective context of what I spend and say, I can increase this or I can keep it the same, or maybe we can decrease it. I don't need to take that money that I save by decreasing it, but I'd be happy to share that with you. Help me control costs. So I have two or three examples like that in there. One kind of funny story is instead of, because there were eight different air conditioning units, because I think that was 15 classrooms in the one building, instead of calling and saying, hey, you know, Miss Christie, can you turn the air down? Or they didn't want to get hot, you know, they were afraid of that. So they'd open the door, they'd crack the door. And so cold air, Florida, right, in the summer, cold air rushing out. Yeah. And so I started to notice that. And so I would literally go around and say, hey, you know, is that something you would do at home? Would you literally open your door? Well, then please don't do that here. So does that sound like nagging? I hope not. But it's really just asking people to treat it like they would their own. And people steal. I had people steal from me three times. So that's one. And then last, I'll just say there's a European wax franchisee top performer that contributed in the book on this chapter about efficiencies. And he had a great analogy to that. And it's the little things that start to add up that when you pull it together, just like when you look at your phone bill or your, you know, cable bill, makes a big difference.
Pennies turn into dollars.
Big time. My husband, the other day, I've asked him, he's better at that with personal stuff. I'm a newlywed, by the way. Anyway, I had him going on the Spectrum bill, and he's like, landline, when you, and I said, what if there's a hurricane? And he goes, okay, so you want to spend, okay, let me do the math, $2,500 every 5 years in case there's a hurricane.
Just okay, back up and leave.
Yeah. I said, no, you're right. Don't need it.
Well, Christy, let's end with a question on your book, Adventures in Franchise Ownership. What do you hope readers will come away with after reading your book?
Ooh. I hope for sure they come away with feeling more confident about their capabilities for successful business ownership. If they haven't started a business yet, and if they have already started a business, I probably, like you, I recommend reading a book once a year that kind of helps you focus and so forth, but that they got some renewed motivation and some new ideas that if nothing else will carry them to the next year, will they'll get something else. But some confidence, some new ideas, some tricks from some experts. And as I say often in here, if I can do this, then you can do it too. So just practical application and no fear.
Staying motivated, important, and when you're running your own business, franchise, or whatever. Well, Christy Wilson-Delk, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Thank you both. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. To learn more about Christy Wilson-Delk, visit ChristyWilsonDelk.com or our website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, HomeBusinessMag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit HomeBusinessMag.com or the expo at HomeBusinessExpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying, anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.